Today's reading is from the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, and verses 35 to 45. And you can find that on the Bibles in front of your seats on page 1015. The request of James and John. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. "Teacher," they said, "we want you to do for us whatever we ask." "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. They replied, "Let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory." "You don't know what you are asking," Jesus said. "Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared." When the ten heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who were regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
If you're able to open up again that reading on page 1015, I'll be referring to that as I speak just now. But first, I'm going to pray for us. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask you today that you will open our eyes and the eyes of our hearts to see wonderful things here in your word, the Bible. We ask it in Jesus' name and for our good. Amen. Well, what a time we are living in at the moment. There's an overwhelming number of tributes to the Queen. But as I, probably like you, have been looking at them in the last week, a couple have stood out for me as they've come from surprising sources. One from a world leader, a surprising world leader, who sent his deepest condolences and described the Queen's death as a heavy, irreparable loss, saying, "For many decades, Elizabeth II rightfully enjoyed the love and respect of her subjects, as well as authority on the world stage." A surprising world leader. Another from an article from a Republican guy called Brendan O'Neill, writing in The Spectator, said, "I am a Republican, always have been, and yet I now feel a great sense of loss. The Queen was a reminder, a constant reminder, that there is more to life than the self." These are remarkable tributes as they come from people who were opposed to her. I wonder if you could guess who that world leader was. Well, it was Vladimir Putin. So what was her secret? She was fabulously rich and still powerful behind the scenes, but as far as we can see, Queen Elizabeth didn't abuse her powers, but used them for good. She reigned, of course, for 70 years and showed legendary consistency, devotion, and endurance, working over 40 hours a week into her 90s. And how remarkable it was that she appointed her 15th prime minister 2 days before she died. But also, it's clear from among the many tributes from ordinary people that this was not a cold and grim duty. No. She was genuinely kind and caring, as Victoria observed, and as this program, which you can watch, called The Queen and I, shows us, as you have many tributes, personal testimonies in it. You see, you can't fake kindness in the public eye for 70 long years. So, what was her secret? Royal biographer William Shawcross says of Elizabeth, two things stand out: the Queen's constant sense of duty and her devotion to God. And I want us to see this morning that the second of these is the secret to the first. So let's have a look at our Bible reading again. It's Mark chapter 10. And this reading is not about a queen, but about a king. But a very different kind of king from a modern monarch. He had no riches, no palaces, no territories, no armies. And now he was on his way to Jerusalem with the intention of being betrayed and killed. But he said that this was his mission. And then after dying, that he will rise to glory. Have a look again at verse 35. You see there that two of his disciples come to him with this bold request, in effect saying, when you come into your glory, Jesus, when you reign as king, let us sit on your right hand and on your left hand. These brothers, James and John, see with the eyes of faith that this humble man is the king. And they want the highest glory in his coming kingdom. Well, their desire for glory is brazen, but oh so human. I bet at times you have dreamt of glory. I wonder what it was for you. Scoring the winning goal in a World Cup final, amassing the most followers in the world on Twitter, even imagining yourself crowned as a king or a queen before cheering crowds. But Jesus responds to these brothers by saying, you do not know what you are asking. They haven't understood the nature of Jesus' kingdom. They don't know what true greatness is. Jesus' words in verse 38 mean in plain English something like this: can you suffer and sacrifice yourself like I am going to do? Arrogantly, not really understanding it, they say, we can. And then astonishingly, Jesus says that, well, in fact, one day they will suffer for him. But even if they do it, verse 40, these places of glory belong to those for whom they've been prepared. You cannot earn the places of highest honor with God, is what he's saying. And so Jesus needs to teach them a true lesson. And it's not just for James. We see in verse 41 that all the disciples need it. And we too. He gathers them around and he shares with them the secret of true greatness. Look at verse 42. Jesus called them together and said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles, that's the nations, they lord it over them. And their high officials exercise authority over them. Look at the world, Jesus is saying. Think of any world leader, elected or not. And what do you see? Well, to varying degrees, all of them exercise authority in selfish ways. Even the best motives easily slide into self-interest, exploitation, domination. This is the mark of the leaders of our world. And this is why the Queen is so exceptional, and we're so thankful to God for her, because she is one of a very small group who are different. Not perfect, but certainly different. And Jesus calls his followers to a different standard. Look at verse 43. He says, not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. Jesus calls his followers to live in the opposite way to the world around us. A totally different value system. And this, he says, is the mark of true greatness. But he's not an arrogant king demanding from his followers what he would never do himself. Now, the reason he makes this demand is because he sets the example for us. His kingdom is going to be founded on his self-sacrifice. There it is in 45. For even the Son of Man, that's his title for himself, even he did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Dear friends, if you are willing to consider that there is a God who made the universe and who rules all that we see, then just think what a humble act it was for Jesus, the eternal Son of God, to leave the glory of heaven and come down to earth, to take a real human life, flesh and blood, and though he dazzled the world with his goodness and his powers, he didn't use them to make people follow him. Rather, he gave it all up to death on a cross. It was Jesus who taught his disciples, greater love has no one than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. And St. Paul later said this of his death, very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is the standard of true greatness. Truly giving of yourself for others. This is why people have loved the Queen so much. Because as that Republican writer said, the Queen was a reminder, a constant reminder, that there is more to life than the self. And so this morning, it begs the question of us, doesn't it? Will you and will I follow the common pathway of living for ourselves, the way of the leaders of this world? Or rather, will we be inspired to choose the road that is less traveled? What Jesus calls elsewhere the narrow way that few find. The way that Queen Elizabeth sought to live her life. But friends, this morning we have a problem. This way is rare. So rare that we barely believe it's really possible. I mean, so many have sought it or taught it and have turned out to be hypocrites or failures. And even those who seem to have done it well, such as the Queen, well, we can see that she did make mistakes and was not perfect. But there is a word in our reading which gives us hope. Let me read verse 45 again. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. This little word, ransom, is so precious. The reason Jesus sacrificed himself was not just to be an example for us to follow. It was more than that. He did it to achieve something for us. His death was a ransom that he paid for many, for us. A ransom is a payment made, isn't it, to rescue someone. Hostages are released when a ransom is paid. And so it begs the question, what are we hostages to that God's Son needs to come to earth to die to release us? Well, the answer, of course, is our selfishness, our desire, like James and John, for self-glory. This is what the Bible uses that little word, sin, to mean. You see, it's not that there are a few saints in the world and the rest are sinners, but rather we're all sinners. This is why the world leaders, as a rule, lord it over others and exercise authority selfishly, We all, like them, need rescuing. This week, Cherry and I went into London and saw the displays of flowers people have put out in Green Park near the palace. It was moving, and it was very interesting as well to see the many cards and notes of appreciation that people have put there. I took a few photos. Here's one. It says, "I'm so sorry for your death. I hope you will earn your spot in heaven. We loved you so much. It's all so sad." Striking words. They clearly don't believe that we need rescuing. They believe that we must earn heaven ourselves. We must achieve glory by our efforts. It's actually rather similar to James and John, thinking they can earn their places at the right and the left hand of Christ. And if Queen Elizabeth believed this, then she can have no assurance. She could have had no assurance that she would be in heaven. But here is another that we found. Our Queen, now with Jesus Christ, her Savior and King. A totally different message, the opposite. But what did Elizabeth think? Did she think her duty, sacrifice, and service earned her place in heaven? Or did she trust in Christ's ransom? We don't know a lot about the Queen's views. But in her Christmas messages, particularly in the last 20 years, she opened her heart to us about her faith. It is striking. This is the one personal thing she chose to tell us about, which shows how important she thought it was. So listen to these words from her 2011 Christmas message. "Although we are capable of great acts of kindness, history teaches us that we sometimes need saving from ourselves, from our recklessness or our greed. God sent into the world a unique person, neither a philosopher nor a general, important though they are, but a Savior with the power to forgive. Forgiveness lies at the heart of the Christian faith." So there it is. Forgiveness at the heart. The need for a Savior, for us to be forgiven our sins, a ransom to be paid, as our reading says. And this is clearly the foundation for her. The foundation from which she then sought to follow Christ's example. Not to earn heaven, but as a response to his love for us, his transforming love. As she said the following year in 2012, "This is the time of year when we remember that God sent his only Son to serve, not to be served. He restored love and service to the center of our lives in the person of Jesus Christ." And as she said in 2008, "I hope, like me, that you will be comforted by the example of Jesus of Nazareth, who, often in circumstances of great adversity, managed to live an outgoing, unselfish, and sacrificial life. Countless millions of people around the world continue to celebrate his birthday at Christmas, inspired by his teaching. He makes it clear that genuine human happiness and satisfaction lie more in giving than receiving, more in serving than being served." So, from the Queen's own words, as well as from this passage of Scripture, we see that Christ is the good news to save us from ourselves. His death is the ransom paid for us. And also, he's the model to give our lives to. We thank God today that Queen Elizabeth knew this, and it has been to our great blessing. And the best way to honor her is to follow her as she followed Christ, her King, in faith and in life. And so, dear friends, will you this day decide to do that yourself? Let's pray that we shall. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can gather here together to support one another as we mark the passing of our Queen, as we thank you for her. And we thank you also for her life of faith and example, and that she points us to the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who died as a ransom. And so, Father, please, Lord, I pray for us all today. May we put our trust in you like she did, and then live this transformed life for your glory and for the good of our world. Oh Lord, we pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.